Number of passages tonight that are we want to read that are not really that long, just the beginning one is. In James chapter 1, if you take your Bible, we'll start in James chapter 1. We've been trying to take a meditation on Wednesday night home with us so that we could think about it all through Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we're on to another subject, you know, the book of Ruth. And if you haven't read the book of Ruth, I hope you get a chance to do so. Try to read it 5 times. If you haven't heard the introduction, be good to get a copy of the introduction to Ruth and listen to that to set the stage for you. And I got to tell you, I really enjoyed and am enjoying that study. But tonight we want to look at another couple of things where we can take a meditation through tomorrow. 2 sentences is what we've been doing, and we'll look at those at the conclusion of our study tonight. The fellowship of suffering and the glory of salvation. That's our title tonight. The fellowship of suffering and the glory of salvation. I have heard this statement from others and even have had these thoughts myself while going through some form of suffering. I'm not sure what God is trying to accomplish here, and I wonder what I could have done to help prevent it. You ever had those thoughts before? Sure. You know, some things are beyond your control, but they're not beyond God's control. Isn't that good news? Amen. So here are some truths to set the tone tonight before we look at the book of James. Truth. 6 statements here. In a fallen world, the evil of sin and the suffering as a result of it will continue to happen. Have you accepted that one yet? Does that mean that we lay down and die because the evil is going to continue in the world? No, but it will continue until Christ returns. God will work good out of evil if we bring our suffering and sorrow to Him. It's important not to go through sorrow or suffering alone. Bring it to the Lord. And then the third point, truths about the fellowship of suffering and the glory of salvation. Suffering, while acting out the righteousness of Christ, causes the glory of God to shine on you. These are all statements applied right out of the Bible. Different verses would bear this out. I didn't put all of them in tonight. The fourth thing, believers are never alone in suffering, but are called to the fellowship of Christ as they seek to glorify God. Don't allow any sorrow or suffering to be wasted, in other words. Allow it to bring you to Christ. He knows what it's like to have sorrow and suffering. He knows what it's like by personal experience. The best one to go to. 5th thing, when believers suffer, they get to partake or fellowship in a small way in the grace that caused Christ to endure his crucifixion for a world of sin against God on the cross. In a small part, our suffering is a participation with what he went through in the whole world of sin on the cross. That's a fellowship of suffering. Okay? And then the 6th truth, believers should grow with this grace. Suffering is temporary, but the glory of salvation is what? Eternal. And that's going to be our concluding meditation. So those are 6 truths there, applying to our study tonight, the fellowship of suffering and the glory of salvation. And like I said, what we're trying to accomplish on Wednesday night is for us to start gathering a meditative mindset. Just take the study that we had tonight, reduce it down to a couple sentences, and just repeat these things to ourselves over and over again. That's meditation. You know what the negative side of meditation is that we go over and over again? What is it? It's worry. And worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. So I don't know about you, but I every now and then get myself involved in the sin of worry. I don't like the sin of worry. A lot of spinning going on and nothing being accomplished. It's that my stomach getting eat up. Anybody know what we're talking about? Okay? So we got to take it to the Lord in prayer and leave it there. Applied truth then. Acknowledge that you are in pain and experiencing sorrow, but that Jesus is the joy of your heart. Make sure you add that second part, or you're going to lose heart. Acknowledge that you are pain and suffering. Don't live in a stoic mentality. Hey, nothing bothers me. You're just lying to yourself and everybody else. That's not true Christianity. Game face, all this other stuff. No, when we're going through some suffering and pain, it's okay to tell another believer that you don't have a giddy smile on today. Christ didn't have some giddy, foolish-looking smile on his face when he was on the cross, but he did have joy that was going to come from it. And that's what carried him through it. James 1, 1 through 12. James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Your farm's been taken. Your lands have been taken. You're scattered all over the place. The 12 tribes of Israel here, not Indians, like someone tried to do. Tried to promote this in our... No, these are the 12 tribes of Israel. Let's get that clear. And then he just said, right in the face of these things, he says, you know what? Look to Jesus and have joy. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. And he didn't even tell us what he's going to get involved in yet. Well, he's getting ready to. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse, many-flavored temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Here's where the joy is being developed. And if we're developing patience in our relationship with others, who are we becoming like? Jesus Christ. That's the joy. Verse 4, but let patience have for perfect or perfecting work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God wants us to pass every test. Isn't that good? If any of you lack wisdom, and it's a simple condition assumed to be true that we do lack wisdom at times, well, here's what to do. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. God will not hold back wisdom from you. He won't tie it up in a bundle and refuse to untie the bundle and feed you. He will untie the bundle. He will cut the rope, and he will give you wisdom. That's that abradeth, you know, not holding it back from you. Picture of a traveler who's got this either in his bosom when he's carrying the food, not going to share his food, or he's carrying it on his back tied up, and he's not giving you any of it because he's got a long journey, and if he gives you some of his food, he may not be able to make the journey. Well, God's not like that. God already knows what the journey's going to be. And it's not food he's talking about holding back. It's wisdom. And he will untie it and give it to you. He'll let you have it. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. But there's a caveat here in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a man standing on a boat. And the waves are rocking. And he's teetering back and forth on the boat. Because the wind's tossing him around. That's what verse 6 says. We just spoke it in the vernacular. Imagine yourself standing on a boat. It rocks this way. Trust in God. It rocks that way. I'm not trusting God. It rocks this way. I'm trusting God. It rocks that way. I'm not trusting. How many of you have experience like that? About every minute you got to go back. It's hard to pray when you're teetering back and forth and just say, okay, I don't know where the boat's going, but I know who the captain is. And can we get an amen right there? And that's exactly right. So both feet got to be in and trusting God. Verse 7, let not that man thinketh that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, he don't know if he's getting wisdom or not because we're being ping-pong back and forth emotionally. That's why we got to get a stable, set-down, resting mind, a renewed mind. So verse 8, knocks out that double-mindedness. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, like a man on a boat with the wind and the waves rocking him. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. We see joy coming in again. This happens to do with the financial poverties, but also emotional poverties. The Lord's going to exalt him. But then another way is the opposite. Rich people may look to the Lord more if some of their things are taken away. Are you aware of that? Yes or no? So, verse 10, it catches us all. But the rich, let him rejoice, is the understanding, and that he's made low, because as a flower of grass he shall pass away. He's just like a flower. He's going to die too one day, whether he's got a lot of stuff or not. Verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and then the flowers too. And the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. By the way, this is just the opposite of heaven. Just the opposite of heaven, where nothing perishes. I just love that. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. He's headed toward death too. So we all need the Lord, amen? Verse 12, blessed is that man that endureth, whether he's rich or poor, that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, put to the test, and we are always being put to the test, folks, to purify our faith. We're always being put to test. What shall he get? He shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, now let's read our statement, since we read James 1, 1 through 12. Acknowledge that you are in pain and experiencing sorrow. Don't live in denial. But that Jesus is the joy of your heart. That's how you make it through. Go to 1 Peter 4 before we look at the applicational statement. 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4:12. We'll read the verses this time and then make the application, okay? 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not unusual. That's what strange means. This is unusual. I mean, I'm trying to serve God with my life, and yet I'm got these trials. To me, that seems unusual. Well, no, it's the way God works. Because he wants us to have complete dependence upon him. And that's what trials give us an opportunity to do. Flat out depend on God. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial. That's a purifying trial. Which is to try as though some strange thing happened unto you. If I was a Christian, I wouldn't be having these problems. That's the natural man thinking, but not the spiritual man. Spiritual man's thinking, well, here we go again. And God has delivered us again. And God will keep on delivering us. And each time, we're going to be more like Christ if we have that right heart attitude toward trouble. We'll be more like Jesus Christ, and that's the goal. Don't forget what the goal is. So, verse 13. There's that word again, but rejoice. Remember joy. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers, sharers of Christ's sufferings in some degree, that when his glory shall be revealed, fully revealed, and boy, by the way, that's coming. That is coming. The full glory of the Lord is coming. When his glory shall be revealed, verse 13, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now it's bubbling over. Then verse 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of Christ resteth upon you. On their part, and this is generally speaking of unbelievers, it could be a believer out of fellowship, but on their part, they're speaking evil of Christ. So predominantly this is an unbeliever. But on your part, he is glorified, but you're glorifying, you're showing the excellence of Christ. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as someone who's actually committing sin. Don't suffer for that. That's what he's going to list now. If you go out and murder someone and you suffer, don't say, I'm suffering for Jesus. No, you're suffering because you murdered somebody. And then you got to face the court and, you know, whatever else. Don't suffer as a thief. If you go out and steal something and you get caught stealing something, don't say, Jesus made me do it. Because he didn't. Or an evildoer, just as flat out doing wrong. Or getting yourself involved in other men's matters. By the way, not to help them, but to gossip about them. That's a busybody. Who's got time for busybodiness? Somebody needs a job, amen? Yes or no? You ever heard that before? If you get time for being a busybody, you need to get a job and start doing some good work. For sure. Do something beneficial. busybody, too much time on our hands. And then verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian for being a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Somebody ever says to you, you're trying to make so-and-so become a Christian, you know what you say to them? I'm guilty, thank you. You know exactly what my goal is. That is my goal. If they're unsaved, my goal is that they would be a Christian. And after they're saved, my goal is that they would follow Christ as a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is my goal. Just let them know that's my goal. And that will bring the glory of God in your life. All right, so application now. Let God have his way with you in suffering and maintain a Christ-like attitude with hope. He will be glorified in you. That's the hope. God will be glorified in you. That's what 1 Peter 4:12 through 16 teaches. How many of you know 2 Corinthians 12:9? What is that dealing with? Tell me. It's dealing with the grace of God in what aspect for Paul? He's asked for what? Healing. How many times did he ask for healing? Three times. And how many times did the Lord say no to him? Three times. Lord, would you heal me of this? No. Lord, would you heal me of this? No. Lord, would you heal me of this? No. But what I will do is give you a grace that surpasses your suffering. Well, then I'll take that so that the glory of God will rest upon me. That's what happened to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9. I tell you what, that's a man of faith right there saying that. Okay, then, I'm not getting the healing. Well, then help me be like Christ in it. I'll take the grace. Hebrews 12:2, what's that say? It's a continuous action. Looking unto Jesus, that's why I put the word keep there. The author, he started it, and the finisher, he's the completer of our what? Our faith. How did Jesus endure the cross? With joy. What was the joy? We're going to look at it. We're going to look at what that joy is. So we wrote out this application. Keep looking to Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Are you going through something that's hard to endure? What's the answer? Remember the joy of becoming like Jesus Christ. Because remember, that's God's goal for us as believers. It was Christ's joy to obey the will of the Father in all opposition. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. It's Christ's joy to save believers one day from all the suffering and sorrow of sin. That's going to happen. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away, and we'll never have to taste it again. And then, remember, it's the joy set before him that he endured the cross. It was Christ's joy to bring the many who became sons through faith in Christ into the eternal joy and glory of God. May I add, never to depart. The best is yet to come for the believer. It's coming. Anybody ever heard this old Southern gospel song? Jesus is coming. You gotta be a little, you know. Jesus is coming soon. And you got a little swagger. Morning or night or noon. And you gotta, you know, hesitate your words. Yes or no? Anybody ever heard it that way? How about you, Greg? Never heard of that. You ever heard it that way, Errol? And for some reason, these guys are enjoying it, you know. Many will meet their doom, but Jesus will come. And folks, we're looking forward to Jesus coming again. Wow, what a day it will be. How about if you know this one? What a day it will be when his face, something like that, I shall see. When my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. We could go on, but that's what we're talking about. The joy that was set before Jesus was that he saw an eternity future, that we were going to be there with him and we're going to be perfected in him and it kept him on the cross. Romans 8, these are really good here. Romans 8, 16 through 18. We'll look at this one last. Sometimes we think the things that we're going through are heavy, and by the way, they are heavy to us. Sometimes they take all of our thoughts. They consume all of our days, all of our things in our days. But the Lord will carry us through them all. I'll give you the application and then we'll read the verses. Seek God in your suffering and stay focused on your future glory with Him. Seek God in your suffering and stay focused on your future glory with Him. Romans 8, 16 through 18. Romans 8, 16. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, which means inheritors. We have an inheritance coming. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means we are both receiving a full reward. Not a co-heir. You have a part and I have a part. We split the inheritance, but we're both enjoying the same inheritance. That's amazing. That's what joint heir means. Big difference. We're a joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him now, that we may be also glorified together. That means in the future. And then he makes the application. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the things I'm going through right now, are not very weighty. You say, I'm not saying that, Pastor Long, because that would be a lie. They are weighty. And they're weighting me down, and they're weighting me down big time. They're weighting me down. I can hardly lift up my head some days. Okay, I've been there too. I know. But let us read on and conclude the statement, because this is very important. For I reckon, I'm going to count this to be true, because it is true in God's viewpoint of things. It needs to be our new viewpoint. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared or laid on the same scale, means, with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The best is yet to come. And it's going to be very weighty. Weighty means glory upon glory upon glory. So seek God in your suffering and stay focused on your future glory with Him. And then here's our meditation that we want to think over again and again tonight and tomorrow when you wake up. Two sentences. The things I'm suffering now are temporary. Let's read that all out loud, okay? Ready? The things I'm suffering now are temporary. And then the second one, enjoying God's glorious salvation of me is eternal. Enjoying God's glorious salvation of me is eternal. So what's your assignment tonight before you go to bed? The things I'm suffering right now are temporal. Enjoying God's eternal salvation of me is eternal. How you like it? Good? Okay. All right. Amen.